Doing, you know, last week we talked about dangerous prayers, and we talked about the prayer of breaking me. And that was kind of a dangerous prayer to pray when you think about asking God to break you. And we talked about the lady with the alabaster jar and how she broke the jar and she poured it out. And she took something that was valuable and she broke it and she poured it out. She poured out the expensive perfume. And man, that's kind of a daring act of obedience and a daring act of worship. And then actually just later on in that passage, you read that when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said that I am to be broken and I'm going to be poured out. And we talked about what it means to be broken and poured out and how God often breaks us and how he wants us to be poured out. He doesn't want us to go out drip by drip, but he wants us to pour out everything that we have. Like, that's what true worship is all about, right? Breaking us. And today we're going to be talking about another dangerous prayer. And really the idea of this series is to encourage you to pray boldly and to pray daringly and to pray with fire and to remember and be reminded that God is listening to your prayers. Amen? He's listening to your prayers. To pray boldly, to pray daringly, to pray with fire and remember and be reminded that God's listening to our prayers. And I want to arm you with some prayers. Really, there's just 3 weeks of this series, but I want to arm you with some prayers that that aren't safe. I want to arm you with some prayers that will break you out of your comfort zone. I want to arm you with some prayers that will make you step out of the boat. You know, I think sometimes we're in the boat and we enjoy the boat and we like being there and we like being away from the elements. But sometimes God calls us to step out of the boat, and sometimes he calls us to step out into the storm. He calls us to step out into the wind and into the waves. And even though things are chaotic, I think sometimes God is calling us into that. And so the prayer that we are going to be talking about today is a simple prayer. In fact, initially when I was reading this, I didn't really think it was that daring of a prayer, but the more that I got into the scripture, the more that I realized this is a pretty daring prayer that King David was praying. We're going to be going to Psalms chapter 139, verses 23 and 24. You can follow along on the screen. You can follow along in the Bible in front of you. If you brought your own Bible, you can follow along there. I'm going to be reading from the ESV version, or Nate was so kind, he actually got the lyrics for us up on the screen as well. So the prayer that we're going to be praying today is, God, would you search me? God, search me. Can you look to your neighbor and say, God, search me? Okay, look to your other neighbor and say, God, search me. God, search me, exactly. So in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, it says this. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. It's interesting. My heart and my thoughts, my heart and my mind. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. Like, even in the Old Testament, we can see examples of this covenant that God has given us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Can you guys say this? Can you guys say this prayer with me together? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, I just thank you again that we have this opportunity to be in your presence. And I just pray that you will minister to us, God, in spirit and in truth. Again, I just pray that your spirit will come down and quicken our hearts. I pray that it'll move in us. Again, just to will and to act according to your good purpose. I pray that the eyes of our heart will be enlightened, and that we will pursue you with everything that we have, God. This is kind of a dangerous prayer for us to be praying this morning as we jump into it. But God, I just pray that you will raise up courageous people who will say this prayer and be willing to say, here I am, Lord, send me. I pray that you will open us up and have your word speak to us in your holy name. Amen. You know, really, when you look at this passage of scripture, it's kind of short, but it can, I think when you look at it, it can be divided up into four subpoints of this prayer. The first part of the prayer is simply this: search my heart. Can you look to your neighbor and say, search my heart? Search my heart. It seems kind of like a simple prayer. And if God knows everything anyways, why would we even pray it, right? I mean, we look at earlier in the passage, and pretty much David was saying, you've already searched me. You already know me. You know everything about me. And besides, I think a lot of us might think that we're generally good people. Do you agree with that? We're good people. You know, I don't cuss too much. I don't drink too much. I don't watch things on TV that are inappropriate unless they're really funny, right? Then we do. I do right most of the time. I'm kind of understanding. I might even give to the poor. I might help those in need. I don't cheat or lie on most occasions. I'm generally a good person. I think that's what people typically think, right? But I think when you look at Scripture, you can see that this is not necessarily a scriptural idea that we are generally good people. You know, even when you look at what's going on in society and you see all the crazy things that are happening, I don't even think we need the Bible to realize that we live in kind of a corrupted world. Would you agree with me? I mean, you look on the news, and I was actually just reading this. I was just reading this this article on MSN where a lady attacked her boyfriend with a samurai sword. And she thought he was cheating on him, and he said he was playing video games. I don't know, whatever. But she actually attacked him with a samurai sword. I'm like, that is insane. But even when you look at Scripture, you know, I think that we can see that we are twisted towards sin, right? You know, for all have sinned, and all have fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, right? When we look at Scripture, we can see that there is no one righteous, no, not one. Our good works are as filthy rags. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says this. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. That's kind of a bold statement to make, isn't it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I think sometimes the biggest lie that we often tell to our, the biggest lies that we tell are often to ourselves. Our biggest blind spots are often our biggest sins. You know what I'm saying? You might hear a sermon, or you might hear a message, and you might say, this message would be great for Tanya to hear. You know, we're talking about gossip, and she is such a gossip. This would be a great message for Tanya to hear. This would be a great message for Rabia to hear, because he is such a shallow person. You know, a lot of times, the bitter people are the people that do not realize that they're bitter. The prideful people are the people that do not realize that they're prideful. The angry people are the people that think that their anger is justified. The lustful people are the people that think that they love people, but it's really lust. The liars think that they're just telling the truth all the time. Have you ever met a chronic liar where literally everything that they say is a lie? And they don't even realize, after a while, they believe their lies. You know, I knew a lady once, literally everything she said was a complete lie. And I didn't even know, like, why are you even lying about this? Sometimes our biggest blind spots are our biggest sins. And, you know, even people with substance abuse, they might say, nah, it's not a problem, or, you know, this isn't an issue. But the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Search my heart. God, search my heart. You know, to be honest, when I was younger, when I was growing up, one of my biggest things was I always wanted to be accepted by other people. I don't know if it was like my upbringing, being a little sheltered. I'm not sure if it was because at one time I was not accepted by other people. I was the kid who was kind of always in the background, in the shadows. And I didn't like that feeling. In fact, it drove me nuts. And I always felt alone. I was in the background. I was in the shadows. I always wanted to be accepted. And I turned into be quite a chameleon. I ended up being different people to different people. Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense. When I was at church, I was one way. Sister Mary Beth would come up, and I'd be telling her all the Bible verses. I'd tell her, oh, yes, Sister Mary Beth, I'm too blessed to be stressed and too anointed to be disappointed, Sister Mary Beth. You know, I helped in the sound ministry. I helped in the music ministry. I was part of Bible quizzing. I mean, people at church saw me as this. In fact, you can talk to my mother, and she told me that all the ladies wanted me to marry their daughters. Like, they thought I was the man. Thank you, and I was. But So at church, I was one way, and I knew all the lines. I knew how to say everything. I was so, you know, when people would look at me, and they'd be like, oh, that's Evan, and I walked around with a nice little button-up shirt and dress pants and little black shoes, and everyone loved me. They thought I was the man. But that was me at church. And then at work, I was someone completely different. At work, I worked at a place called Shopko, and I was kind of like a Target. And at work, I was someone completely different. I would go to work, and I would jump in with the jokes. I'd go to the movies with the people. I'd say things that were inappropriate. I was someone completely different at my work. And then, you go from there, and then at home, I was someone else altogether. I was like three different actors, or one actor playing three different people in a play. And it seems like the older I got, the more I got confused, like who I was supposed to be playing. And there was a moment where I remember I sat down in my room and I cried out to God and I said, God, who am I? Like, I feel like I'm this person here. I feel like I'm this person here. I feel like I'm this person here. God, who am I? And maybe you're here this morning and you're dealing with identity issues. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been playing games. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been playing church. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't even know who you are. You're like me. Like, I was just playing three different parts in a play, but I was the same guy. And each time I was acting and each time I didn't even know who I was, I don't even think I really knew who I was. And here I was playing these games. Are you bold enough this morning to say, God, will you search me? God, will you search me? If you go back to 139 verse 1, David kind of uses the same wordage. He says, oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know, it's not just a simple search, but it's a thorough search of us. You know, I don't even think I knew who I was until, even now I feel like I'm trying to figure out who I'm supposed to be. But God searches us and he knows us. He knows every part of us. He knows you're sitting and he knows you're lying. He knows the paths. He knows all of your ways. He knows every word. He knows every thought. He knows you all together. Just take a moment and you think, God, would you search me? For me, it was like I was being fake. I was being insincere. God, can you show me the things in my heart that aren't supposed to be there? God, can you open the eyes to the can you open my eyes to the things that are unknown and that are unseen? In Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, God is speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, and this is what he says. He says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Call to me and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. God, would you search me? God, would you search me? You know everything about me already, but God, would you search me? You know, I feel like a lot of times people try to push different labels on you. People try to push different roles that you're supposed to play. Feel like, you know, you got to wear a certain thing or act a certain way. But God, he knows you. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, right? He knows me. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you the hidden, the great and hidden things that you have not known. God, would you search me? God, would you search me? You know, that's a difficult enough prayer to pray right there. But if you keep on reading, not only did he say, God, search me, but he also says in the same verse, he says, try me and know my thoughts. Can you look to your neighbor and say, try me? Try me? One more time, try me. I know you guys seem a little bit nervous to say that, but try me. Try me. Another translation says, test me. Would you try me? Would you test me? I mean, I think it's a bold thing to say, God, try me. I think it's a bold thing to say, God, I want you to test me. Try me. Test me. Normally in life, we like to pray just the opposite. Would you not agree? I think we really like the prayer of Jabez, right? A lot of people have made a lot of money off of that prayer. Lord, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and keep me from evil. That's a good prayer to pray right there, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to have prosperity? Who wouldn't want to have more territory? Lord, would you please take care of my troubles? Lord, would you make me healthy? Would you make me prosper? Lord, would you make my children behave? Lord, if I could have a three-bedroom house with two bathrooms and a white picket fence and a nice new car and a wet saw, that would be amazing. Lord, I would like a number 7 combo at Taco Bell with a Mountain Dew. You guys know what I'm talking about. Like, there's certain prayers that are easy to pray. Lord, would you bless me? Lord, would you enlarge my territory? Lord, would you keep me from evil? I mean, how many of you guys like those prayers? Amen. Praise the Lord. No one does? You guys do. You know you do. And there's a lot of people that have made a lot of money off of those prayers. You know, in fact, there's an entire portion of Christianity that focuses entirely on the health and prosperity of the Word of God. There's an entire portion of Christianity that's all they focus on. And although those things are true, although those things are appropriate, I think there's another part of our walk with Christ where you look here, David says, search me and test me. Search me and test me. Test me and try me. Try me and test me. And David wasn't someone, in fact, a lot of scholars have said that they think that this passage was perhaps written later in David's life. So you think of all the testing and the trying that David had already experienced. I mean, he wasn't someone that had lived in a bubble and had not experienced anything in life. I mean, we can see from the very first time that he's mentioned, his father didn't have any expectations of him. He was hiding out in the pasture with some sheep, and his father had forgotten about him. So there's some testing there, right? Have you ever had people that have not believed in you? Have you ever had people that have not thought that you could do anything? I mean, I think testing from the very beginning. He attacked a lion and a bear. I mean, if I saw a lion and a bear, I would run the other way, but he was tested with the lion and the bear. He was tested with Goliath. Even after he was anointed king, the man who was supposed to be his helper and his friend, the man who was supposed to be his mentor, was chasing him and trying to kill him. In Scripture, it says that he hid in rocks and he hid in caves. In one part in Scripture, it even says that he acted like a crazy man so that people thought that he was nuts. David was someone who had been tested. He was someone who had been tried. We read in Scripture that he had an affair with Bathsheba when he saw her out bathing on, you know, up on the roof. He had an affair with Bathsheba, and their child passed because of his wrongdoings. He was someone that had been tested. He was someone that had been tried. When you even read further on in his life, you see that his son tried to overthrow him, and his sons tried to kill him. But here's David saying, God, I want you to search me, and I want you to test me, and I want you to try me. I want you to try me. I want you to test me. When I think about Job in the Bible, it says that Job was minding his own business, and suddenly a servant came in and said, all of your other servants have died. Your crop has been destroyed. A wind came, it destroyed your entire family. I'm the only person left, and here I am. You imagine losing everything. It says Job became upset, and he took shards of pottery and he broke out in sores. Sores from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. He took shards of pottery and he scraped the sores with the pottery to relieve the pain. And then he sat in ashes and wept. His wife came up to him and she was like, you know, Job, you just need to curse God and die. And his friends came up and they tried to give him godly counsel, but their counsel was terrible as well. Imagine friends like that. So not only did his family die, not only did his, all of his possessions get destroyed, all of his servants die, all of his livestock, but also his wife is telling him that he needs to die, and his friends are giving him bad advice. And this is what he says in Job chapter 23 and verse 10. He says, but he knows the ways that I take when he has tried me, tested and tried. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. When he has tried me, when he has tested me, and he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. You see, I think in testing, God isn't trying to find out something new about us, but it's for us to find out something new about ourselves. It's in the testing where we grow. It's in the testing where we mature. It's in the testing where we're made more and more into the image of God. As gold is refined again and again and put in again and again, and all the impurities begin to fall off, and eventually the refiner is left with pure gold, precious and valuable gold. It's in the testing. It's in the trials. It's in the tribulations where we grow and where we are mature. If you allow him to, God can make something beautiful out of the trials and out of the testing. When he has tried me, I shall come out as pure gold. When James was speaking to the church that was scattered, the first century church that was scattered, and they were getting persecuted, and they were getting beaten, and they were getting thrown in prison, and terrible things were happening to them, and they were facing all sorts of ostracities, being burned and being tortured. He said to them this, and he said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Lord, would you search me? Lord, would you try me? Lord, would you test me?" If you keep on reading, he says this in that same verse. He says in verse 23, he says, "Try me and know my thoughts." I think the King James says, "And know my anxieties. Know my anxious thoughts. Know my anxieties." So not only search me, not only try me, but God, would you also know my anxieties? Have you ever thought about what you're afraid of? God, would you know my fears? You know, are you afraid of the future because it's unknown? Are you afraid of being alone like I was? Probably still am. Are you afraid of loss? Are you afraid of staying with the same person? Are you afraid of losing someone? What I have found is that what we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. What we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. You know, if my greatest fear is my marriage, perhaps I'm not trusting God with my marriage. If my greatest fear is my job, perhaps I'm not trusting God with my finances. If my greatest fear is my future, I don't know what's in store for me. Perhaps I'm not trusting God with the purpose and the plan for my life. You know, I believe what God has shown me in the fear of not being accepted and being alone is that I have compromised my past because of my fears. And fear can be a terrible master. It'll always tell you that you're not good enough. It'll always tell you that you aren't righteous enough. It'll always tell you that you don't have enough talents, you don't have enough abilities. It'll try to make you doubt your calling. It'll try to keep you stagnant. But I have to love pleasing God personally more than I'm afraid of being alone. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear." You know, God has a counterfeit for our fear. Satan has a counterfeit for our faith, and that's fear. And I believe that God has called us to have faith in him. And when we say, "God, will you know my thoughts? Will you know my anxieties? Will you know my fears?" What we're saying is, "God, will you know them, and will you replace them with faith and trust in you," right? God, would you search me? God, would you try me? God, would you test me? God, would you know my thoughts? Would you know my fears? Would you replace them with faith and hope and trust in you? And then if you look at the very last verse there, in verse 24, it says, "And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Lead me. "And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, there's a little footnote on my Bible for the Way Everlasting, and it actually says that, let me make sure I got the right wordage here. It actually talks about how that is also translated as, and lead me in the ancient way. And it has a note for Jeremiah 6:16, which says this, thus saith the Lord, stand by the road and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. So thus says the Lord, stand by the road and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. So lead me in the ancient way. Lead me in the ancient path. In Daniel chapter 7, multiple times, God is referred to as the Ancient of Days. And, you know, I think sometimes we always come up with, I don't know, there's always a new way to do something. There's always a new way to find God. There's always a new book. There's always a new recipe. There's always, you know, everyone's always looking for the new and the improved, right? You know, it seems like right now the popular thing is it's just your Starbucks Christianity. It's like you take a little bit of this, you take a little bit of that, you mix it all together, you take this, and whatever you believe is fine. You know, as long as you're spiritual. But David was talking and he said, listen, I want you to lead me in the ancient ways. I want you to lead me in the ancient ways. This verse just popped in my head. Sorry, Nate. But there's also a spot where Jesus is talking to his disciples in John chapter 14, where it says, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. You see that? You know the way. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way. He says, you know the way. And then Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said this. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, I think God knows what's behind you. He knows what's before you. He leads you through the valleys as surely as he's going to lead you through the mountains. He will lead you through the trials. He will lead you through the blessings. He will lead you. In the first verse, again, it says, O Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. You know where I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my paths and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? Even if I ascend to the heaven, you are there. Even if I make my bed in a shoal, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall behold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are the works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in the secret, woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, even one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of your parts. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, I just pray right now that you'll lead us to the way, to the ancient way. God, we know that you do not change like the shifting shadows. God, we know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that you are our rock, you are our fortress, you are our ever-present help in times of trouble. God, I pray for people here this morning that might be dealing with anxieties and fears, Father, and I just pray that they'll be able to give them over to you. We know that perfect love casts out all fears. God, I pray for people this morning that they will just pray for you to search them. I pray that they will just pray for you to try them and to test them, Father. God, I just pray for those this morning that you will minister to them, God. And this morning, if you're willing to make the prayer, Lord, search me, would you stand up?